MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hyped Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp struck. You struck game on those who act lame. See, ain't a damn thing changed. You know I ride the neighborhood slow. Blocks on you and let the wind blow. True indeed, I'm having the ball. Pick up the phone and get my homies a call. What's up with y'all? Living in the city where we born and born. Roll up for Philly, we pack it tight. What a pity, what a sight. Inhaling something more, damn, I got what I need.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. You guys know what we're doing. First and foremost, like always, our great sponsors, Persist Headwear, Takedown Grappleware. Persist, you guys know, Madhouse loves them. We're proud to have them on board as a sponsor. And we're proud to have the Intercontinental Champion of MMA Talk, the man himself, Ray Lopez, with us, like always, hosting this show. Ray, how are you tonight, brother?
I'm doing good, Skippy. I'm doing real good, man. What a weekend it was for local MMA out here in my region, out there in your region. It's, man, who needs these big pay-per-views when you got shows like the ones we had going on in our areas?
I cannot disagree with you more. First and foremost, big shout-out to Zoe, Big Zoe, Alfonso Big Smooth Gonzalez, fighting out of Northwest Elite in Tacoma. We sponsor him. He went up to Canada today. He took his 4-0 record. I think he's like 13-0, counting his amateur, with four belts as an amateur, three at one time. He took it up there to Canada to battle for the borders, and Madhouse was live there giving results. And he went against this tough guy up in Canada, and, dude, like 57 seconds into it, KO. Big Smooth,
wow.
Baby. It was great night, you know, definitely for Madhouse. We rocked Budo Fights out of Bend, Oregon. We brought the team in. We had ACS Live TV with Muggs and the boys flying from Michigan to do the stream. Fantastic night. You talk about local MMA. I know we're about to hear your scene. Budo Fights, it's been down for about a year and a half. They haven't had an event after multiple years of super successful events. And, boy, did they come back with an action-packed card. A young lady out of California. We had guys out of Colorado, Washington, Oregon. Everybody came down. It was a great night of fights. Amazing turnout. So, yeah, big shout-out for everybody who came out and supported local MMA in Central Oregon this weekend. We thank you guys. How about your scene? What went down there, brother?
Oh, you know, remember Christos, the Greek Spartan? He fought this weekend for Lifestyle Promotions. He won first round. Basically, the guy couldn't answer the round for the answer the bell for the second round, doctor stoppage. So, Christos, he handled that right there. Dmitry Gerasimov, he took a little short. He lost a hard-fought decision. He's got to keep his head up. You know, at least one of the judges thought he won that. And from what I heard, it was crazy, that fight. You know, both guys gave it all they had. And then John Robles was also on the show a couple weeks ago. You know, he was dominating, and he just got caught in an arm bar, and he ended up dropping that fight. But, I mean, I know these guys, and I guarantee you they're watching film this morning, and they've solved whatever problems that happened yesterday. These guys are students of the game, so I can't wait to see them back in action. Hopefully real soon. Hopefully we might even see Dmitry in 2 weeks. We're hoping.
Were you talking about him throwing down?
Well, you know, I don't know if I should say anything or not, because nothing's been decided yet. But let's just say Cali Fight Wars has a stacked card coming up in 2 weeks. So hopefully it'll be even more stacked.
I like it. I like it.
You know, a lot of stuff happened to MMA this week. What's up with the UFC giving Gina Carano a title shot, being coming out of retirement, and her last fight was a loss. What is up with that?
Okay. Man, you know how I feel about this, brother. excuse me, everybody. You know how I feel about this. First and foremost, the Zuffa zombies of the world are jumping saying this is the greatest matchup ever. This is a horrible matchup. This is a sex sells matchup. This is not truly about putting the best competitor against your champion. This is about putting the most butts in the seats. Let's be honest. This, like you mentioned, 5 years off a loss since we've seen her perform as a professional fighter. Not training. And don't get me wrong, I know she's been training, but she has not been training like a fighter because she's been doing other things with her life. I think this is the biggest slap in the face, not only to the girls in the top 10 in the UFC division for Ronda Rousey at 135. I also find this extremely horrible and a huge slap in the face to the sport itself. I mean, this is a fight that's just they're using to sell pay-per-views and sell tickets. And Gina Carano, win or lose, and let's be honest, folks, she's going to lose in the first round. It's going to be over quick. Win or lose, you can't tell me that this is truly the best championship fight that you could find for Ronda, because I'm telling you guys right now, there's a young lady out there who I believe, even coming off a loss recently, not in the sport of MMA, but in the sport of Thai fighting, I think you make that fight happen. Don't put the title on the line. You put her in a fight at 140. You make it a catchweight. One goes down 5, one comes up 5. Let's see Cyborg. I think Cyborg right now is phenomenal, but I thought I read that Alexis Davis was going to get the next title shot. So if that is true, and I'm going to be honest, folks, I've barely, you know, been into the Zuffa scene at all this weekend because I was busy supporting local MMA. I could have sworn I read a tweet this morning, though, that Alexis Davis gets it. And if she does, I'll be honest, I think that young lady right there has one of the best chances to beat her. Her Brazilian jiu-jitsu and ground game is phenomenal. Her striking is solid. Her cardio is there. Her chin is there. I think Alexis Davis can beat Ronda.
Well, you know what? Honestly, there's so many more women out there who would be more deserving. I mean, you know what? Ashley Evans-Smith. You know what is?
Yep.
She's fighting World Series of Fighting. But, I mean, you know what? The UFC should have went after her. I mean, after what she did in that tournament, I mean, she even beat Fallon Fox. Like we all knew she would. Give her a shot at Ronda.
I agree. Well, she's not getting out of the World Series anytime soon. We're going to have to talk about that whole shindig off air sometime. I'm going to have to tell you some interesting facts that I found out recently about that company. But I think that they're not going to let go of her, and I think she's going to sit for a while. And that's really kind of a bummer, you know. But I also think, man, I think that there's a couple of ladies out there that could definitely probably give Ronda a serious fight. Like, why isn't, Jessica I, why isn't anybody throwing her name in there? Dude, she took out Karina Dam in a war, and we guys know that Brazilian girl is tough. She tapped out Zoila, like, I mean, what was it, a standing arm triangle? She, like, choked her, like, in a ridiculous amount of time. Wasn't it, like, 50, 60 seconds? I mean, round one just shook her like a rag doll. She ended up having that war with Sarah Kaufman. She has that split decision loss to Alexis Davis. And, I mean, guys, we can go all day long, I mean, on the fights that, you know.
And, you know, honestly, whoever they get, I believe all roads to Ronda to lead go through Liv Carmouche?
I really, really want to see that. I do. I think that that's a seriously good match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how a promotion could give somebody a title shot when they haven't fought in the promotion. They haven't fought, period, in a long time. I mean, you know what? Sean Shelby, why don't you give Melanie Lacroix a contract in the UFC and let her go up through the ranks? I guarantee you, in a year, year and a half, she beats Ronda.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a couple of girls out there that could, you know, that are kind of interesting matchups.
But you see, the thing is, Dana is protecting his golden egg there. You know, he's going to hand feed her opponents to keep her as a champ. You know, I don't know. I mean, I've heard some stories about what's going on behind the scenes. You know, I don't want to stir the pot. But, you know, he's protecting her for a reason.
Just like he is John Jones. It's a paycheck. It's a business. And I hate to, you know, say that, and I hate to agree, you know, with what people out there, you know, it is a business ultimately, and I understand that. So I don't hate on them for their business and for them wanting to make money. I just feel like if they're going to sell the soul, you know, spend some time donating a couple of days a week at the church, you know, I mean, you got to counteract what you're doing. You can't just take. You got to give, you know, raising Fight Pass this weekend without announcing it to anybody, you know, giving literally, and anybody out there, you want to argue this point with me, it's at STP Tattoo, that's T-A-T-T-O-O. You guys go ahead and hit me up. I'm telling you right now, for a fact, less than 10% of their take home as a corporation of Zuffa LLC goes to fighter payroll. Okay, I'll go as far as to say payroll combined for employees and fighters.
Yeah, I mean the pay is horrible for what they make. You know they're making money hand over fist and they're not kicking the fighters on any of it.
Did you see that Holly Holmes thing? It came out, I think it was Thursday morning, that she was offered $250,000 to take another pro boxing fight, and Dana White and the UFC only offered her $15,000 to get in the cage.
You know, it's ridiculous where you have a fighter, you know, everybody's all about the UFC, you know, they raised it to it's 8-8 now, you know, for the lower-level fighters. 8-8, so that means you're going to make... Was it $32,000 a year fighting for the UFC?
Well, that's
unless you're
one
of the top fighters. I'm sorry?
That's if you can fight regularly. Look, you have two kinds of fighters that are on the cards, okay? Look, Dana White said he had something like 500. You know, there's 500 fighters on roster right now. And there's, what, 56 cards? I think it was 56 or 52 cards this year because there's a couple that are, you know, two in a week. And at that rate, how many events does it take to get a guy to fight three times a year? You know, I mean, they're not getting – if you're not one of the top – I'm going to even say eight guys, not even top ten. If you're not one of the top eight guys – or you're not somebody that is willing to fill in last minute for nothing, then I'll tell you what, you're not going to get four fights a year.
Oh, I mean, exactly. It's just ridiculous.
You know what?
Fighter pay needs to increase.
That's the thing is, okay, let's take Sam Cecilia. They've given him how many five fights in just under 3 years in the UFC? Three of them were short-notice fights against, dude, the guy who owns Tough Brazil. And then they gave him, I don't even remember who next. It was some beast. I mean, they just keep feeding him like top five guys on short notice. And that's why he's getting to fight a lot. But, I mean, he's not getting $50,000 a fight, folks. Trust me. I promise you. He's getting way, he didn't make that for all the fights, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. And, I mean, in fact, we're going to get him on the show soon. Savant Young, you know, he's trying to start a fighter union called MMAFU, MMA Fighter Union. And he's got some pretty big names behind it. And I really think that's what we need to do, is we need to get a union in this sport. Either that, or, you know, we go the route of boxing where you've got a unified body, and, you know, rather than the UFC being a promoter, they would be, you know, that'd be, you know, one sanctioned bout. Bellator would be another sanctioned bout, and, you know, then you World Series of Fighting, you know, whatever the case is, and then you would have an undisputed champion holding all three belts. So, I mean, I honestly believe that we're not, in MMA, we're not going to make any money until we have something like that going on. You know, unless you're, you know, like you said, Skip, you're one of the top eight fighters. It's horrible when I see how much these guys make. And, I mean, me personally, too, I mean, as a manager, I don't make anything. I'm lucky if I make $100 a fight. You know, and that's if I'm lucky. And, you know, I'm not saying anything towards the fighters because, I mean, $1,000 to fight put into it. You know, by the same token, you get these local and regional promoters where they're barely scraping enough to make it by too. It's just crazy, and the sport just needs to evolve a lot more faster than it is for the type of money that it's making, you know, as far as pay-per-views go and whatnot.
I agree, 100%. And we definitely pick this conversation back up at the second end of the show, but we got our first guest ready. Why don't you go ahead and bring him on? Let's start this show tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the man, the myth, the legend, the brawler out of Knuckleheads Gym, Benji Gomez. What's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going? How are you guys out there?
Pretty good, pretty good. And yourself, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Just got off work a little while ago. Just got home, hanging out now.
Cool, cool. You're coming off that big win at Bama.
Yeah.
How's that feeling?
It felt great. I was ready. I mean, I was prepared mentally, physically, just everything, and it's going good. Took a good week off. Trained a little bit here, but starting to pick it back up because Bama should be having an event in June, so hopefully I'll be on that card also. So starting to pick back up on training right now.
You fought David Duran, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, he's a tough opponent.
Yes, definitely. I was looking at a bunch of his videos, and, I mean, the past few fights that he had, I mean, really good fights. He closed the deal, like, in the good first round. So it was a really good fight.
Yeah, his last fight, he fought one of my guys and split him open. His head, it was so bad you could see his skull.
Yes.
Yes, I mean,
yeah, I saw some pictures, and I saw the reviews on that, too.
Yeah, I think he got a knockout of the night or something like that day.
Yes.
So when you
I believe he got knockout of the night.
Yeah. So when you came in, you beat him all, man. I was so happy. That's the only fight that I came down to the locker room to watch.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Awesome. I appreciate that.
So you have some amateur belts too. You know, tell us a little bit about your amateur career.
Yes. As an amateur, I started doing some boxing, some kickboxing. So actually, I just went all around and then just started doing MMA too, and just that actually helped me doing boxing and kickboxing. That helped my MMA career a lot too. I mean, so I'm a pretty good stand-up fighter. My wrestling helped a lot too. I've been wrestling for about 14 years now, so that actually helps a lot, especially with the defense. But, I had three bouts as an amateur, and then I finally turned pro.
You see, what a lot of people don't know is you have an amateur win for a bout over the Cali Fight Awards Bantamweight of the Year, the IFS champ, the current Bama champ, Terrion Ware. So, I mean, that's got to feel good that, hey, you know what, I beat this fool back in the day.
Yeah. I think about it now. I'm like, oh, man, this guy, he's really good. He has a good record. I know he's actually improved a lot. Actually, I think it was like right after I fought him, I think he turned pro about like a year and a half ago. I think that's the last time I fought him. But yeah, I look at it now and I'm like, oh man, this guy's, you know, really top fighter, and I had the privilege to fight him a year and a half ago, and it feels actually really good.
You know, I mean, that's actually when I met you, and you know, it was hard losing that bout to you, but I mean, you know, it couldn't happen to a better guy, and I mean, we clicked since then. You know, even though we're on opposite sides of the cage, you know, I've been following your career and you know, all the guys at Knuckleheads. And,
I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, you're welcome, and you know, it's great winning against you guys, but it's even better when we're not.
Yes. Definitely. So you don't have to bump heads or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's always good, you know, when you have two great gyms and then, you know, they're fighting against each other. I mean, that's always the best thing when you go head-to-head and, hey, try to see who the better guy is. And then, you know, just go out and shake hands and, hey, it was an amazing fight. I appreciate it. It's always the best thing.
And at Knuckleheads, you guys got a bunch of killers there, some big-name athletes coming out of there. Oh, I mean, you know, how was that? You know, you got the Ultimate Fighter. I forgot what season Tony won, but
yeah,
I mean, you got him there. You got some big name pro boxers. You know, you got a couple guys that have fought in the UFC. I mean, how was that?
It's actually really great. You know, I mean, I have the privilege to spar with everyone. Spar with Tony a lot. Train with Tony. Even Chris Beall. I mean, he fought for Bama too. So, I mean, me and him actually, we probably spar a couple times a month because he's more of my weight. He fights at 135, so that's really good. And then we have a bunch of boxers, too, so that's really good as well because when we're sparring, I could just spar boxing only. So that helps me move my head, my stand-up and everything. And then with the MMA fighters, I mean, it just goes all around. So it's actually really good because they actually push me a lot, and I actually like sparring with the bigger guys because it's just that much harder.
And you know, you got Joe over there as your head coach. And that guy is awesome.
Yeah.
And
yes.
You know, funny story about Joe real quick is when we were in the locker room for this last fight, see, he pulls out that old school phone, and one of the CSAC inspectors is like, "What the hell is that? I don't need a smartphone. I'm already smart."
Yes. Yeah, Joe is a character. I mean, he's actually, that's probably like his third phone this year so far. So he's actually just tired of buying like good phones because he drops them, breaks them, forgets them somewhere in the gym, and then someone else like breaks it or steps on it by accident. So he's just like, any cheap phone I get, just give it to me. But everyone makes fun of his phone as well. Like, what's the, you got a flip phone? I mean, how long is the antenna on that?
So what's your MMA record right now?
2-1.
2-1. What about combined with your amateur record?
Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
Combine that with your amateur record. How many MMA fights have you had?
Let me see. As an amateur, I went 9-4. So yeah, I mean, you could say 11-5, pretty much. As an amateur, I mean, I fought the same guy 3 times and I lost to him by a split decision.
Well,
and then the other guy, Keith Carson.
Now, that fight you guys had for Sparstar,
yes.
That was an awesome fight.
Yes. And Sparstar, I mean, yeah, they put really great shows. I fought for them 3 times. Sparstar is, I mean, amazing Hollywood. Like them a lot, and I mean, I was thankful for them giving me the opportunity to fight for the belt too.
Definitely.
And defend the belt.
And out of all your fights, which one was your favorite fight?
My favorite fight has to be this one against David Duran.
Cool.
And this one and Terrion Ware, the top two.
Cool. Now, what fight did you learn the most about yourself?
I would say this one. This past fight, we had my wrestling coach, my high school and my Moore Park wrestling coach, Aaron Jackson. he actually started stepping in and helping me this year, actually in January. November he started helping me. So that actually helped improve, like, my game a lot with him. And then Joe, both in my corner, I mean, it's just helped me a lot. And then just helped me improve my game. And just watching my fights, I could feel like this past fight, just my kicks, my punches, my takedowns, I just got to add a little bit more, like throw another extra combination or an extra kick in the end. But, yeah, my game has really improved since then.
Now, you know, improving your game, spending a lot of hours in the gym. And so how hard is it balancing training, a full-time job, and being a dad?
It is pretty hard sometimes, just because, I mean, working full-time and then training 2-3 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then coming home, you know, to the wife and the daughter, and then just doing everything here at the home. It is a little hard sometimes, but, I mean, I have to do everything. I got to push myself. I mean, it's good because I still get a good amount of rest throughout the day, so. But, yeah, I love everything. Just, I mean, you gotta step everything up, and this is what I want to do. And, I mean, what I like is that everyone supports me, so I'm doing this a lot for my daughter, too, and I want her to have a good future, and same with my wife and same with me. So just little by little, stepping it up.
Now, you know, talking about, you know, long hours training, when you're cutting weight for a fight, what's the one thing that you miss the most that you have to cut out?
I would just say, man, there's really not one specific thing, just eating pretty much, because I love to eat. Like, when I could eat, I'll eat, like, a lot. Right now, I'm not sure. I'm probably, like, 150 right now, but I fight at 125, so, I mean, I would say in about 2 weeks, I'll probably start dieting, start cutting back on eating so much and just maintain everything, start cutting little by little. Because I like to be mainly almost on weight, like 2 weeks before the fight, just so I could walk around and just be super strong.
Tight.
But there's really, like, nothing that, like, I miss, like. Because, I mean, I like to munch throughout the day. So I'll have little portions throughout the day so I'm not so hungry. So I don't have, like, one big meal. It's just little portions.
Tight. Now, I mean, you have a rather large fan base. I mean, they follow you all the way from Ventura out here to the fights in L.A. So, I mean, that must make you feel amazing.
Yes, definitely. Just everyone that could come out. I mean, like, this last fight, I probably had about 25 people show up, I would say. So that actually, like, pumps me up a lot, especially when my wife comes too. And then, I mean, I got my brothers, my aunts, my uncles, my best friends, my coaches, my teammates, you know, and them just all come to support me. That just gives me that extra boost, like, okay, you know, put on a show. Like, hey, if I lose or if I get knocked out, or, hey, I mean, you know, that's part of the sport. It sucks, but if it happens, it happens. But that's not the game plan. The game plan is to go in there and win and, you know, put on a show for everybody. That's what I like to do all the time. I step into a cage.
Now, tell me, who's the one guy in the gym that you hate sparring against or going against because he's just that good?
Actually, there's really no one that I would not want to spar. I mean, whenever they tell me, oh, hey, you're going to spar, okay, all right, I'm going to spar. You know, perfect. You know, the only thing I hate sometimes is when they're like, okay, there's five different guys, you're going to spar each one time for 5 minutes. It's like, okay, bam, by the fourth guy, I mean, you know, they're all fresh. You're tired. 25, 30 minutes of nonstop action, you'll get a minute break. I mean, by the fourth, fifth guy, I'm just like, oh, man, no. But it's good because, you know, they push you and they push you and they push you. And that's something I like. That's why, like, this past fight, it was three-minute rounds, but I could have still gotten another 2, 3, 4 rounds because of just my spawn that I've been doing lately.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you can see your cardio is definitely there. And, I mean, you know, like I said, all the guys from Knucklehead are studs. And I'm talking about Chris Beall. I think we have him next. He's number one contender for the Bama belt.
Yeah. Oh yes, yeah. I've heard that last time when Bama was here, he was kind of bringing that up that he wants a shot at the belt. So that'll definitely be a good fight. I mean, they both have really good records, and they're both stand-up fighters too. So that'll be a really good fight to see.
Now, hypothetically speaking, you know, I ask this of everybody. Some people don't know how to answer it, but one person in the world that you would want to fight, I mean, anybody. It doesn't have to be, you know, somebody fighting now, or it could be somebody in the UFC, whatever. Who's the one fight that you want?
I would actually really like to fight Shai Lindsey again. That's the guy that I first fought and I lost to when I turned pro. That was my first pro fight, and I don't know, I just, my head wasn't there that fight. My game plan wasn't on point. I'm not sure what it was, but this wasn't me.
Let me ask you a question. It's funny, we've got just a couple minutes left, so I was looking over your record, because honestly, I live outside your region, so I don't know that much about you. I'm getting to learn, just like the rest of the fans tonight, about you. I was looking at that fight, and I was wondering how you felt about that loss, and obviously it's eaten at you, it sounds like. What do you think was the biggest reason behind the loss? Obviously, it wasn't your talent.
My training camp wasn't really, too much on point. I didn't have anyone to really spar with. A lot of people were injured. I would say I probably, the 2 months that, 2-3 months of my camp, I probably only sparred, twice, which isn't a lot. And my daughter was born the week before, too. So there's just a lot of pressure on that. I mean, it was, a 50-50 chance that I should have taken it. I was still, should I not? But, I ended up taking it, and, that ended up happening, and it's just been eating me out. I've never been tapped out, never been knocked out, and just for it to happen like that, I don't know, I look back at it, I'm really, you let someone do that to you? It's really hard for someone to choke me or get me or, just do anything to me, so that was just bugging me a lot. My head wasn't there, and, if I could fight him again, hopefully I will soon. Hopefully I have a bout someday, or he has a bout, and I could step in there with him and show everybody, hey, this isn't me. That wasn't me. I don't know who that guy was.
Right.
What are you looking at long term? Are you looking at Zuffa? Are you looking at Bellator? What's your goal in this sport?
My goal is just to be the champion. If I could be the champion of Bellator or UFC or both, that's the main goal, is to go to Bellator or UFC, whichever one accepts me. Hey, I'm going to be there. So that's the goal right now, just one fight at a time, and hopefully soon enough, this year, next year, as soon as possible, hopefully they give me the call and ask me to fight for them.
Definitely. Right now, Benji, this is your time. Go ahead and shout out anybody you want, trainers, sponsors, friends, family, whoever. Just go ahead and, shout out who you want, bro.
I would like to thank, first of all the fans that are out there following me, all my family, my friends, my loved ones, my wife, my daughter, my trainer, Joe Faltero and Aaron Jackson, just knuckleheads, all my teammates, my sparring partners. I would really like to thank Native Warrior, that's my main sponsor. They've been with me since day one as an amateur, and I thank them. I'm very grateful for them, actually, because everything, the banners, everything they provide. But other than that, yeah, I would like to thank just everyone out there paying attention and just watching me.
I want to thank you for coming on. I can't wait for your next fight. I really enjoy watching you fight, and get some more wins under your belt, and get you a belt. And,
yes.
The future is definitely bright for you. Thanks for coming on, and we'll have you on again soon. And it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure's all mine. Thanks again for having me on.
You're welcome.
All right. You guys have a good one.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
Take it easy, brother.
All right, you too. Thank you. Bye.
Ray,
yes,
good young kid right there. You know, I was really curious about that fight because if you looked at his record overall, it seemed like a kind of an odd loss. So that was interesting, you know. Once again, the mental aspect and preparation is sometimes what, you know, these amateurs might not focus on or even think about, but stresses in your personal life away from the gym do add that pressure and can get you off track during camp. And you know, obviously, like you said, he'd like to have that fight back so that he could show everybody, you know, how he really is as a fighter and not somebody who comes in with his head just in a bad camp. And, you know, so it was a great interview, brother.
Thank you. And, you know, Benji, he's a great guy, great fighter, really humble. I mean, you know, he's the kind of guy you really want to get behind.
Oh, definitely. Well, are you ready for our next guest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been waiting to get this guy on for a long time. Well, as long as we've had the show, it's not been that long. But Fight Me Clothing, we have Steve Romero. What's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me.
No problem, no problem. Hey, bro, why don't you go ahead and give our listeners a taste of who you are and what you do.
Oh, wow. You want me to get that detailed, huh? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm Steve Romero, guys. I'm with FightMeClothing.com. Some of you guys familiar with the local SoCal MMA circuit, you know, may or may not have heard of us. But we sponsor fighters, you know, everyone from your amateur MMA fighter, you know, to your pro MMA fighter, you know, to your professional boxers, amateur boxers, et cetera.
You know, I'm going to be honest with everybody out there. Okay, I have my own clothing line, Takedown Grapplewear. Fight Me is the only other clothing line that I wear on a regular basis.
I appreciate that, brother. You know, we've been doing it for a few years now, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been in the game a while, you know, side by side with each other. So, I mean, I don't even look at Fight Me as competition. It's like you're a bro.
Yeah, there's definitely no competition, you know. It's more of a respect for each other, you know.
Definitely, definitely.
Hey,
so who are some? Go ahead.
Ray, let me jump in real quick. You know, we're talking about, obviously, you guys are running a gear company. You guys are evolved around combat sports. You know, was there something that you saw as somebody standing outside the business at the time that said, this is what the market needs? Was there something you saw that said, man, this is crap consistently? It's all the same design, or the gear falls apart, the shirts are never staying clean? You know, what was it that made you decide to go this route into the sport?
You know, it wasn't really – I never said, you know, oh, I want to start a clothing line and I want it to be an MMA. And, you know, I never had actually that thought. You know, I used to I guess odd how fighting came about. I was in my buddy's gym one night, and we had, you know, both been going through a rough time financially. And, you know, we were just frustrated at life, at the cards that, you know, life had dealt us at that time. And I looked at him, and I says, man, you ever just want to look at everybody, especially the people that, you know, your bill collectors, your baby mama, you know, your wife, your ex-wife, whatever the case is. You know, or even your friends who turn foe, and you just want to look at them and, you know, tell them, screw you, fight me. And he started laughing. He's like, yeah, man, all the time. You know, sometimes that's the only way that you know how to deal with certain things. I specifically was facing, you know, a specific adversity, if you will, you know, and I was having a tough time coping mentally. I wasn't sure how to overcome it. And so we started laughing and joking. I said, you know what, I'm going to make a couple shirts to say fight me. That was our way of being defiant towards the system, if you will. And he started laughing. He's like, I'll wear it. And then one of our other buddies said, he's like, I'll wear it too. So the three of us started laughing, you know. And next thing you know, in the next couple days, I just went and printed a couple shirts that said fight me. And they started laughing. They didn't think I was going to do it. Sure enough, we wore them, and, you know, as we were out together, people would be like, hey, where'd you get that shirt? You know, and we would kind of, or somebody would ask us, hey, what's that shirt about? And we would tell them briefly, it's just based on overcoming adversity. It doesn't always necessarily mean, screw you, fight me physically. It's based on overcoming adversity, whatever challenges you're facing in your life. Fight me is finding the courage within yourself to never give up. It's finding that you know, inconsistency that exists in all of us at some point in our lives, and being able to make it a consistency. So that's how it came about, man. And then once guys were asking me about buying the shirts, I was like, wait a second, maybe I should do this.
Do you feel like maybe this gives you an edge into the fighter market that maybe some other companies might not have, coming in with the corporate suit and tie, dollar, dollar, dollar thinking?
You know, it's probably a catch-22 for someone like me, because I'm, you know, obviously biased towards the sport. I grew up as a martial arts fan and, you know, a boxing fan or whatnot, so I was always into combat sports. This is just another way, in my opinion, for, you know, fighting is not for everybody. You know, I've heard people say, hey, I'd never wear that. Well, it's not necessarily for you. But then again, there are, you know, we've been fortunate enough to be able to shit to many, many countries, you know, in the last 4 years, that those people do believe in, hey, you know what, I'd wear that, you know, for what it represents. And we make sure, like, we're launching a new website on Monday, and the new website on Monday will depict, you know, a detailed about us section. You know, that'll explain what Fight Me is and how we're trying to transcend what Fight Me actually means.
Now, sorry, Ray, I got to ask one more question. I'll let you take back over, because this is very interesting, Stephen, man. You know, we deal with a lot of sponsors at MMA Madhouse, and we do have a couple clothing company sponsors, but I've really never got to sit down and kind of pick the brain like this with the guys. It's always, you know, paperwork stuff. So with this, at what point did you guys decide to either bring in a designer or have one of you guys take that lead, and how did that play out? Because obviously we all have opinions, we all have what we like, but you've obviously made the right choice in picking, you know, how you're going to produce everything and how it's going to look. So how did that play out, and who is in charge of that?
You know, I started designing the first Fight Me shirt, you know, with the, you know, the simple font, like anybody else that starts out as an idea. You know, and as time goes on, you learn to, I mean, I'm no artist by any means, you know, can't paint, can't draw, you know, I'm just not, you know, but when I guess something, I mean, it became a passion. It became something that I was like, wow, this is, you know, this is a lot of fun. I'm able to, I mean, there's nothing more gratifying than being able to watch your son walk down the street with something you made. Better yet, even some random strength. What's that?
I just said amen.
Oh, yeah, thank you, man. But, yeah, better yet, even some random stranger, you know, who, it's so funny. I'm like, if anybody out there is wearing a Fight Me shirt, you see some weird guy taking a picture of you, it's probably me, because I'm zoning out that you guys are wearing my stuff. You know, it's, to answer your question, it's not, you know, it's, the design aspect of it is more so, I mean, there was a point in time where I thought I loved every shirt I made, and it was going to sell a million shirts, every design. And that's just not the case, you know. A lot of the time you got to take into consideration what, you know, other people are doing. What do people want to buy? I, for instance, don't make any skulls. You'll never see a Fight Me shirt with a skull on it. You know, it's very rare. And what we've done is we've been working really hard on all the new stuff for the last six to 8 months. Hence the new website we're launching tomorrow, Monday, at fightmeclothing.com. So we're trying to make it a MMA fashion. I call it Fight Me fashion. You know, we instead of just wearing a shirt that says Fight Me, it's got, now you got a design. You don't have to worry about just wearing it in the gym, you know, or wearing it to an MMA event. I'm making stuff that you can wear anywhere now.
I like it. I like it, and I just got to make a comment. It is, you know, one of the greatest things, like us with our logo. We started out, and anybody who's seen our old logo, it was goofy, you know, clown, and it had a skeleton body, and now it's just the clown head, you know, with the name through the mouth. But to see that logo, and because I look at it every day, probably like you look at your logo, I'll catch it maybe in, you know, an event in Abu Dhabi or somewhere in Bangkok or, you know, Norway, and even locally, like this weekend, I could just see it in the crowd. I'm like, oh, there's a Madhouse hoodie. Oh, there's a Madhouse shirt. You know,
right?
I understand that feeling of, you know, like it's your child. You just, you know, you send it out into the world and it came back with a degree. You know, it's weird. I guess people who and obviously Ray understands, but if you've never done that in the business and seen an athlete walk out to the cage with you, isn't that just the purest form of just great feelings you can get?
You know what it really is, man, to watch different athletes, you know, even in various sports. We, you know, we've been fortunate enough to see our stuff on, you know, guys that played in the NFL or NBA. Like, you know, that's a trip. When you see someone who really has nothing to do with your sport wearing your stuff, that's kind of cool. You know, but it is an absolute honor when I get a fighter who I'm a fan of. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Last night we were at Hollywood Park Casino for Chaos at the Casino, you know, the Lights Out promotion event. And I'm sitting there, we just got done setting up the booth, and, you know, everybody's walking in. You know, by the time we had sold a few shirts. And I see Manny Gambarian, UFC fighter. Well, I've been a fan of his for a while, you know. And I never really, you know, I don't ever get starstruck. But I see him walk in with his shirt. I mean, it could have said Tap Out, could have said Affliction, could have said anything else. But he said, I am MMA, fight me. And I looked at him and I said, man, I said, the shirt looks good on you. And he started laughing. You know, he's like, man, I really appreciate, you know, you sending us some gear a few weeks ago, whatever. I said, no, I'm glad you like it. It's more of an honor to me that you would even wear it. You know, so it just solidifies that I'm in the right place, that I'm still running on the right track, you know?
Well, Ray, since he was at Hollywood down Park and Casino last night, did you get to watch the Dimitri fight at all?
Are you asking me or are you asking Ray?
Yeah, Steve.
I'm asking about
Demon. Did you see Demon's fight at all?
I did briefly, man, briefly, because we were so tied up. But I did brief. I saw his fight briefly.
Tell what you remember of that brief moment. How did he look? Because he seemed like he let himself down social media wise in that fight. And talking with Ray a little bit this morning, this evening, I was just curious because I haven't got to see the fight, and I'm curious what your thoughts were about his performance of what you saw.
You know, I didn't catch the majority of his fight to give an opinion. You know, Dimitri is a phenomenal athlete, man. I mean, that is just that dude stands out amongst the crowd. You know, and if he's having a hard time, you know, via social media or whatever his post might have been due to his performance, you know, it's something these guys go through. You know, it's something that we as spectators, you know, shouldn't take lightly, and we got to make sure that we try to, you know, understand them in that fashion, to where it's not easy when you're not happy with your performance, whether win or lose, you know. But you know, Dimitri, Dimas, if you're listening, bro, you're a beast, man. I'm a huge fan, and I always will be.
Oh, he made me a fan. Ray, he had a great interview with him, and he sold me as a fan.
Yeah, Dima's a great guy, and it's he's the kind of guy you want to get behind, because he's such a good guy, so humble, and he's a beast in that cage or ring.
Yeah, he is. That is for sure. He's a you know, epitome of a martial artist. That guy comes to work. You know, I watched him at Crew Rod McIver's gym over in Inglewood, Team Victory. I seen him there this last time I saw him in person. And I mean, to watch the guy, you know, kick pads and hit pads with Rod is just ridiculous. The guy's just a beast.
And I mean, and knowing Dima, if you didn't know he was in the gym, you wouldn't even know he's an MMA fighter just talking to him.
Yeah, you absolutely wouldn't. He's one of those guys that, I mean, there's a ton of them, but he's definitely one that stands out. You would never guess that he was, you know, an MMA fighter.
Now, Steve, you're talking about earlier, you know, we'll fight me. You make stuff that you know you want to see your son walking down the street with. You know, we see Ricky at a lot of the fights. You know, it's a family business. He's there helping you sell shirts. So
right.
When are we gonna get the twins modeling some Fight Me stuff?
You know what, man, when they get a little older, you know, they're girls, man. So I got to make, they're really particular. I mean, they're three-year-old twins, you know. So as soon as they say, Dad, they want to fight me shirt, then they can get one. You know, it's not something I ever impose on my kids or my family or friends for that matter. You'll never hear me tell someone, hey, why aren't you wearing your fight me shirt? Hey, go put your fight me shirt on. That's not for me to say, you know. I feel that, you know, my son dresses himself. It just so happens every so often he's wearing a fight me shirt. You know, I think it's really cool, but I by no means do I ever impose it on my kids.
Cool, cool. Three-year-old twins, bro, how do you do it?
Oh, it's not easy. it's definitely not easy. They're a handful, but you know, unfortunate, man, where they, you know, they listen to Daddy pretty well.
Good, because, yeah, I got two that are here apart. And, I mean, that's almost as bad as twins, and yeah, they keep me on my toes.
Yeah. Yeah, they will, that's for sure.
So who are some of the fighters that you got under the Fight Me brand?
Some of the fighters we got under the Fight Me brand? I mean, Ray, it's been just your fighters alone. I mean, I've sponsored Dima before, you know, Carrion, obviously, who's another beast. I saw him last night. He's playing with his baby. Carrion, you got an adorable kid, bro. But we got, let's see, in the recent past, let me just think off the top of my head here. So you got Dima, Carrion. I think we sponsored a few guys out of the Systems 8 and Team Victory gyms. You know, I try to make sure we sponsor guys that haven't necessarily been through a sponsorship before. You know, obviously along with the professionals who know all about sponsorship and whatnot. But you know, Ray, I mean, I try to give these guys the experience of having a sponsor who's going to support you, and you know, vice versa.
You know, and Daniel Hernandez is last King of the Cage fight. You know, you sponsored him, and I mean,
yeah.
you couldn't have picked a better shirt for him, Leon, to wear to the cage.
Yeah, you know, he wore the we call it our honor design, you know, but he chose it actually. Normally we're particular about, you know, which shirts, you know, we have sponsored shirts obviously, but he chose it, man. Daniel's a cool guy. Another guy saw him last night. He had his Fight Me shirt autographed by Ronda Rousey at the fights last night. I thought that was pretty cool.
Tight. How long has Fight Me been around?
Officially, Fight Me's been around since late 2007, early 2008. We're actually coming up in July on our four-year anniversary. So, Fight Me's inception started at 07, 08 is when I kind of came up with it. It didn't really become a business till like mid-2010.
We came in around the same time. You know, Takedown was actually about, we came in 2009, and you know, it's funny because, you know, you see these other clothing lines come and go. They come out and they think they're bad. They got some bad designs or a good name. And, you know, you think they're really going to blow up. And it's just the way that they handle their business. And they're gone. And, you know, there's just a handful of us that have, you know, withstood the test of time. I mean, it really hasn't been that long. It's not like we're a tap out or anything like that. But, I mean, like I said, you know, you see these guys coming and going. And, you know, the ones that are truly game, we're still here.
Yeah, you know, it's really a saturated business. You know, the MMA clothing line, it seems like everywhere you turn, you know, there's a new clothing line out for MMA. You know, everybody's trying to capitalize on, you know, one of the fastest growing sports in the world right now. You know, it's just, but as fast as they come is as fast as they go. You know, there's few that I've seen, especially in SoCal MMA, in the SoCal MMA scene, that have, you know, lasted the test of time. I mean, as far as we've been here anyways, you know, and the ones that have, I mean, we have a, like Takedown, I mean, we have a great respect for you guys, you know.
Oh, thank you. You know, and it's like, I like to point out to people too, you know, Takedown, we're the only other people that sell Fight Me shirts, because, you know, you're on a lot of, on the back of a lot of our shirts.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I'm curious now with the sponsorships, you know, what's all entailed with that? Because, you know, obviously we got a bunch of amateur fighters and pros as well, but, you know, some might not even live in this country. You know, a lot of our listeners are around the world, especially overseas. And a lot of these guys are learning about American MMA, you know, like in China right now, we're really actually some of our, you know, we're really huge over there right now. A lot of these guys like to listen to the show because they're trying to figure out what the MMA world's like away from Zuffa, because that's all they know. Now, you know, to explain to people, how does this work? Let's say I'm a fighter. I'm 5-3 as an amateur. Is that somebody you're going to look at, or do I need to be pro only? And let me make this a 2-part question so you can just answer everything. And what social media wise do you look for? So go ahead and answer everything kind of however you see fit.
You know, we look at a bunch of different variables. You know, in the beginning it was like, let's just, you know, put our shirts on all our friends, because I was friends with all the guys in the, you know, in the camo circuit, you know, or my buddies that were pro fighters. It was kind of like, let's put fighting on these guys. We get a lot of applications on a monthly basis from, you know, people that, fighters that want to be sponsored, both amateur and pro. In order for us to sponsor an amateur fighter, you know, we definitely want to see that the fighter's on the rise. You know, that he's got a good backing, meaning that, you know, he's selling tickets to his fights, people are coming to watch him, or he's just exciting. You know, forget the even selling tickets to his fights aspect, because, you know, fighting really has nothing to do with that. But just the fact that he's, you know, he's a likable person. You know, obviously, you can't judge a book by its cover. When I meet these guys via social media, you know, I look to see what kind of things they're posted on Facebook. You know, how active is your Twitter, your Instagram? You know, what is it? Why is it they want a sponsor? I always ask guys, why do you want to be sponsored by Fight Me? Do you just want it because you want free gear, or do you really want to represent a company that's, you know, like Fight Me? You know, and 9 out of 10 times you get the guys that are, you know, they want to represent a company like Fight Me. But I look for more so the fighter's skill set. You know, it says a lot about how they perform. It says a lot about them based on how they perform in the cage. You know, are they respectful towards their opponent? Are they just, you know, douchebags wanting to wear shirts that's fighting? You know, I try to avoid those ones.
Well, you know, you have a good group of guys who are constantly repping Fight Me. It's like, you know, there's some certain clothing lines where certain people are synonymous with them. Like, you know, like you got Marco Bersani, you know he's down to scrap. He's not going to win anybody out. You know, if you got Sean Guzman. You even got the Jefe, Mike Beltran. Always sporting.
Yeah, my boy Mike Beltran. Yeah, he's a man. Yeah, man, we're fortunate, dude. There's no other real way to describe it, dude. It's not something I ever, like I said, I don't push Fight Me on anybody. You know, I really don't, man. It's we got like guys like, you know, Fight Academy, you know, Savant Young, the guys at Defiant Gym, you know, Mike Beltran, Chris Crail, you know, CSAC Inspector. We got all these guys that understand the work it takes to build something like Fight Me, you know, and have watched me come up through the ranks, you know. And I'm fortunate that they support Fight Me, man, especially, you know, guys like Mike Beltran, Marcos Bonilla, Tony Arenas from Defiant, Savant, all Savant guys, Anthony Hernandez, Heinrich Wasser, Sean Guzman. All of these guys play an integral role in Fight Me's growth or success, you know. It's just the fact that they wear it, man, is what really, really is like an honoring thing for me. It really does make me proud to see someone else wear Fight Me.
Yeah, you know, we had Marco Bonilla on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, he had texted me today. He's like, "Oh, you're gonna be on that show I was on a couple weeks ago."
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a new Spar Star champ, and you know, he's repping Fight Me. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, you know, for local MMA.
Yeah, that is true. That is really true. The next Spar Star should be a good show, man. May 3rd, that's gonna be a good event.
Well, definitely. You know, you got Dub C live in concert, game, good fights. You know, anybody needs tickets, hit me up. I got discount tickets. Steve's got tickets available. Hit either one of us up. Doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there.
That's right.
So what shows do you have coming up next other than Spar Star?
You know, actually, May 3rd, we got 3 different shows. We got We'll have Fight Me teams at the Spar Star show, at the Epic Fight in San Diego, and the 3rd show we'll be at is the IFS, at the, I think it's the Pico Rivera Sports Arena or something like that. I can't remember exactly the name of the location for IFS, but we'll be all three shows that night.
Yeah, I believe it's at Industry Hills Expo Center.
That's one of my guys.
Yeah, I got one of my guys fighting on that card too, so I got to figure out how to be in two places at once.
Yeah, it's not always easy, man.
Yeah, so I might be spending a lot of time on the freeway that night.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, before we run out of time, Stephen, man, because we've got about 5 minutes left, I want to make sure you get a fair shot. Man, anything that you want to give out to the fans around the world to find you guys on social media or any information on fighter applications for sponsorships or, man, just do you want to give any shout-outs to family, friends, whoever, man, please, just take some time.
Yeah, I appreciate that, guys. You know, anybody that's listening, you can find us, find Fight Me at fightmeclothing.com. And it's the same thing for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just type in Fight Me or Fight Me Clothing. We should pop up. You know, give us a follow. Give us a like on Facebook. And make sure to check out the website, guys. We're launching a brand-new website. The first professional, I mean, it really is a sick website. We put a lot of work into this site as far as, you know, how it should look, how it should come across. Is it mobile-friendly? Is it user-friendly? Is it fighter-friendly, most of all, you know? So it'll launch tomorrow afternoon. So people look out for that. There is a section where you can apply for sponsorship, you know, and give us some time, guys. We're running behind on applications right now. You know, it could take anywhere from a week to 2 weeks for us to take a look at it and get back to you guys. You know, but as far as shout-outs, well, obviously, my son, Mr. Ricky Ross, my daughter, Sadie and Sophia, you know, my girl, Sheru, everybody that helps Fight Me, you know, hold it down in the MMA scene and keep us alive, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys. Just to be able to go to events like I did last night and see familiar faces, you know, every weekend. I mean, this is my life. I literally live to go to these MMA events or boxing events or high school wrestling events, whatever the case is, anything related to combat sports that Fight Me can support, we do. And without people like Ray or like Mike Beltran or anybody, I mean, around the world that are buying Fight Me shirts, guys, thank you so much. Enjoy them. Represent yourself well. Again, remember I said represent yourself well. Represent yourself well. Just because you want a shirt that says Fight Me, don't ever let anybody tell you anything different. You know, be you. That's what Fight Me is about. Fight Me is about being an individual. It's about being you and not having to follow the trends. You know, so I appreciate you guys having me on Ray as a man. Thank you so much. You know, if there's anything I can do in the future, guys, or any, you know, questions, just let me know. Hit me up. I'm a phone call away.
Definitely, Steve. I mean, we'll definitely have you on again. I mean, it was some great insight for, you know, some of these guys out there who are looking for sponsorship, you know, what they may be doing, and, you know, especially from a great clothing life. In tongue tied, it's a great clothing life. Like, Fight Me. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm a fan.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
Ray.
I lost you guys for a minute. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. But I'm back.
Hey, all right. And guess who we got? And by the way, I hope, because I jumped into queue to take care of this call, I hope, you know, you were able to say bye and everything to Steven Romero and everybody. Remember, Fight Me Clothing. Follow them. Find them. Google them. They're supporting local MMA. Get out there and support the ones who support us. We're ready with the man of the hour himself. Bring him home.
The man of the hour. We have Akeem the Duke Lee on the line. Now, this guy is an MMA fighter. He's a writer, a movie director, producer. He does it all. What's up, Akeem? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on.
You know, thank you for coming on. You know, I mean, I know you're a busy man. You know, trying to get the movie done.
Yep, I've been pretty busy. I mean, not now. I mean, at this moment, I was watching Game of Thrones, but I can pause that and be with you guys right now to talk about the movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, not just the movie. We want to talk about, you know, your fight career, you know, but first and foremost, mm-hmm. Yeah, the movie. I mean, you know, it's something that I'm really looking forward to come, you know, when it's done. I mean, mainly because I'm in it, but,
yeah.
You know, it's...
But I mean, it's something that I really believe in. You know, you've been working on this for a while already. And,
thank
you. We've got a few
thank
more
you.
Scenes. You're welcome. We've got a few more scenes to shoot, and you know, I'm looking
forward.
Tell us a little about the movie.
We,
and, you know, what it's about.
This movie is about a girl having her first MMA fight, and she's a bit unsure of herself, and she needs a little bit of mental coaching from her coach, played by Paula Tocha. And that's it. That's basically it. It's the day of her fight. She has her fight, and she overcomes her insecurities and gets the job done.
Now, how much of this movie is based on your own experiences?
A lot of it. A lot of it's based on my own experiences. In particularly, I would say the whole, there's a part where she has to do some mental, how do you say it, some visualization techniques that I learned from a psychiatrist. Right before I had my fight with Steven Stryker, I sought out a sports psychiatrist. In fact, he actually, like, donated his services to me because he's a young guy and he's trying to get his master's in psychology, so he offered me some free sports psychology. And he gave me these techniques to just visualize myself in a certain place and get myself prepared so that I wouldn't have the anxieties take over me. And I'd say it pretty much worked, and I kind of incorporated that into the movie. So I would say, you know, so much of it is based on not just my experience, but, you know, other fighters' experiences. And it's just about the game itself. MMA, the whole game itself is just an interesting topic to me. And so I just wanted to put it on film.
You know, what I'm really looking forward about this movie is this is a movie that's about MMA, and it's made by a fighter. Not somebody in Hollywood that says, oh, it'd be nice to make an MMA movie, let's get a technical advisor. This is made by a real fighter, and you have real fighters, real cornermen, you have real people in this movie who aren't
mm-hmm.
actors, who are the people who do this every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really think that makes this really special. I mean, the fact that Paulo signed on to it, and I hired girls with some real fight experience and acting experience as well, and, you know, so many people that I met through the fight game were so willing to help me out with this. I mean, you know, even Savant, you know, letting us use his gym in Pasadena, and, you know, even some of the sponsors willing to give materials to us, like shirts and clothing, and, you know, not even for a fight, for an actual fight event, just for my short film. So I really appreciate that, and yeah, it's been a great experience for me. I mean, it's still going on, and I still have to finish it, which it should be done, you know, sometime this summer. But yeah, this has been an exciting part of my life, and I'm glad that you're excited about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, for me, as a friend of yours, you know, not just your manager, but as a friend, see your dream coming true was truly amazing. It was great. And, you know, and seeing your mom be part of it, that was truly amazing, how proud she was of you.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you're breaking up. What'd you say?
I said seeing your mom, how proud she was of you, too.
Yeah, I was actually pretty lucky to have everything coordinated because she came out for her birthday, and we just happened to be shooting around that time, so, you know, I had to make sure that my mom got on screen, and I made a promise, you know, if I make it in this business, she'll have, like, a little small role in all my movies, so look forward to seeing her some more.
that's definitely something good. She's a great lady. I really enjoyed talking to her. So she's from back east, you know, where you came from, you know, or
New York.
Yes, and you know, a funny story I like to tell people all the time is, like, you know, you're a transplant, you know, you're really not from out here, but that one time after your fight out in Orange County, we went to that Mexican taco stand, and this is a spot where, you know, real Mexicans go, paisas, you know,
I can recognize a place that's hood. I mean, you know, you don't have to be from LA to know that you're in the hood. But it was still, like, shocking to me.
Kind of
I mean, it wasn't shocking, but it was just, I don't know, it was weird. I mean, things could have gotten bad pretty quickly.
Definitely, it could have got bad very quickly because I guarantee you almost everybody in that restaurant was packing. But, yeah, we've had a lot of good times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about your fight career. You were you were the very first fighter signed to Takedown Management. You were the very first champion in the Takedown organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had some great fights along the way. What is your amateur record right now?
It's about 3-4.
3-4.
The last one was coming off of Steve Stryker. One thing that I'm kind of proud of is that all of my losses have come from people who have gone on to go pro and have very good pro careers.
Oh,
so
definitely.
It's I was basically, a gatekeeper? Is that what you call it? Beat
so
this guy and you'll make it. So,
I mean, and basically that's what it is. These guys are using you as a litmus test
mm-hmm.
to see if they do have what it takes to go pro. Because fighting you is
mm-hmm.
like fighting a pro. And speaking about that, when can we expect you to make your pro debut?
You know what? I want to come out the same time my movie comes out. I want to come out this summer. And I know that sounded weird. Not really come out. I mean, I want to make my pro debut sometime this summer. And, I need to get ready. It's a lot of work, but I want to do it. I want to do it since I signed. And I love the experience. It's just there's nothing like it. There's nothing like fighting. I've always been drawn to fighting. And, you know, it's the way you fight is the way you live your life. So, you know, it's a test to me. I like testing myself. I like giving myself goals and meeting those goals. And the one thing that I really like is going past everyone's expectations. To me, there's nothing sweeter than winning a fight that someone told you couldn't win.
Definitely.
So,
you're one of the guys that you don't have to fight. You know, you're college educated. You know, a lot of these guys fight because that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is your take on that? That you don't have to fight. You do it because you love it.
Well, I wouldn't suggest anyone do it if they didn't love it. I mean, you really have to love it. You know,
that's true.
if you don't love it, then how would you put in the work you need to do to get it done? I mean, a loss would be devastating if you didn't love it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost an insult to everyone else doing it if you show you don't love it. It's like, why would I come to see you fight if you don't love it?
That's why people
come to see a fight.
I have a particular fighter that he fights just to fight. You know, he's not trying to be champion. You know, he wants to make money, but that's not his chosen occupation. You know, he's a stuntman, and you know, this is what he does to pass the time. It's not where he's not looking to get into UFC or be a UFC champion. He just does it because, you know, in between being a stuntman, it's the only thing that gives him the freedom to do what he wants.
I can understand somebody, I'll throw his name out
because you know who he is, Hans Morero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I worked with him for a little bit.
I mean,
and you're saying he doesn't love it?
No, he just does it to do it. It's not a passion. You know, his stuntman work is his passion. Fighting is just something he does to pass the time. If he does that just to pass the time, and he's already that good, imagine if he loved it.
Well, you know, I wouldn't get it out that I didn't love it. But I understand where he's coming from. I can understand being realistic and saying, look, you know, I want to give it my best shot and see, you know, how I can fare up. But this sport hurts. And, you know, if he's doing it to pass the time and he's winning, then maybe he's just not paired up with the right people. Because, you know, I've been hurt in the cage. And I wouldn't get back in if I didn't have something in me that loved it. So, I mean, it's a weird thing. But I can understand you're not trying to make a long career out of it. But sport itself, I need martial arts in my life. So whether I'm fighting pro or not, I'm going to be involved one way or another. I'm a teach, or I'm just going to go to shows or whatever. But, you know, till the day I die, martial arts, whether it's in film or just, I don't know, just being around it. I have to be around it.
Hey, let me, I'd like to pick your brain a little bit about that. Obviously, you know, listening to this first part of the interview, you seem to have such a passion for both the sport and this movie you did. Is this something that you plan on continually doing as a career after fighting's over? Is maybe producing film or directing or something along that line?
Well, directing films is my number one passion. That's why I moved out to L.A. And believe it or not, it's my connections in martial arts that got me connected to so many people in the film industry. So to me, it's like hand in hand. And I want to use martial arts as a tool to get me more into the industry, get, you know, writing my stories. You know, it's action. That's what people like fights. That's why people like action movies. It's just, I'm an action movie junkie. So fighting, Bruce Lee, Rocky movies, that's just a part of my life. So if I'm going to fight, I'm going to do a few fights. If I'm good, I'm going to fight some more. But for me, it's about movies. And if I get a career making movies, I'm going to be making some more movies about fighting.
Now, with this, the movies that, you know, you've made so far, obviously this one is based around something you have, you know, great insight to and a passion for and something you're doing yourself. Is that how you want to do all movies? You want them to be tied to something, you know, in a personal nature, or would maybe see you do some like cool ass remake of like some old school Kung Fu 8, you know, 70s Saturday morning movie, you know, is there a way you're trying to go directorial wise?
Are you saying I'm going to be pretty much tied to one genre, or if I
have a passion for like doing these, like what you just did now, this movie that, you know, What It Takes, is that the style of movie we're going to see where it's maybe more from the heart, kind of a follow of a person, their life or a situation, or are we going to see you jump around and maybe do action movies or remakes, or do you have a genre that you like?
Well, I tell you what, what you just said right there doesn't have to be exclusive. I mean,
true.
To me, it's like, you know, you're straight up kung fu, you know, chop socky movie, and your heartfelt character study film can be in the same movie. I mean, that's basically like Kill Bill. You know, it's all about the characters, and it doesn't even matter what genre it is. If the characters, the people connect to those characters, they'll follow those characters in any genre. So I put a lot of emphasis on making characters that people can identify with and follow and understand the story that they're going through. But if you want to be more specific about the genre that I love the most, I mean, it's action and sci-fi, and I mean, I love studying film. I love studying martial arts choreography. I mean, I can tell you the difference between, you know, a Wu Ping style choreography and someone from like the Bourne Identity. Like, I can tell the difference, and it's one of those things that I love nitpicking, and you know, just putting it to memory.
I love it. I know nothing about directing a movie, so I got to pick your brain. And you're very right. Anybody out there who's seen Goemon, it is such an action-packed kung fu flick, but the storyline and the characters in it, they draw you so deep into it. So, you know, you're 100% right on that. What are your top three favorite movies looking at it from a director's point of view?
From a director's point of view, as opposed to movies I just love? Point of view.
Yeah, something that you look at and you say, man, this movie was directed extreme well. I might not be a huge fan of the movie, but the guy nailed it, you know?
Okay. All right. So the very first movie I tell everybody, everybody knows me, is sick of me saying this, but the reason why I even moved to Los Angeles was because of Terminator 2. I saw that when I was 11 years old. I said, I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do. Like, before, I wanted to be a police officer, fireman. Once I saw Terminator 2, I knew I wanted to be a filmmaker. So that's number one. Number two, I'd probably have to say Rocky and Rocky 2, if I can mash those two into one movie, because really it's about the character, and the fight scene is just so believable. You just pull into it. And it doesn't sacrifice story at all. It's just, I mean, that's all it really is. It's a story. And the story pulls you into the life of boxing. And they pull no strings. They say, look, this is a hard sport to get into. Fighting, period, is a very hard sport to get into. And you got to have something in you that, whether it's stupidity or a lot of passion, to make you want to get in it and put your all in it. So I'd have to say that. And next, I'm just going to say Enter the Dragon. Bruce Lee was my hero since day one. And, you know, I mean, it was his first American feature. And just reading up on him, just how much he put into it, because he knew that once he made this movie, he would be the star that he wanted to be in the United States. And, you know, so the choreography was very important to him. And the story is pretty straightforward, but it pulls you in. And that's what matters, pulling the audience in, making them follow, and just give you the emotional response that you want them to give you. So that's my top three.
Now, what movie makers do you look up to?
What? I'm sorry, say that again?
What movie makers do you look up to? I mean, like, you know, like, say, like a George Lucas, or is there anybody else out there?
Spike Lee. Jim Cameron's my number one favorite. I mean, there's just so many. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I love all genres, really. I mean, I love horror. I love drama, comedy.
That's funny, Mug.
I mean, I know how much you like movies. I mean, but, you know, I said that George Lucas thing because that Jimmy, you were telling me about that one time about George Lucas.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
About how he doesn't really understand why Star Wars is such a good, you know, why Star Wars is as successful as it was?
Yeah.
I don't want to get into a rant about that. But he's George Lucas. I mean, I really do look up to George Lucas, and I have a lot of respect for him. But as a filmmaker, as an artist, sometimes it may be hard for you to understand why you're successful. And so he's looked at Star Wars from a complete different vantage point from his audience. So he sees something different. And unfortunately, because he's become so powerful, he feels he can do whatever he wants with his movie. And it's obvious that, you know, that he doesn't understand why Star Wars is as popular as it is. But I'm not going to get on I'm going to get off my soapbox about that.
Let's switch direction and going back into the fight games.
Okay.
Which of your fights was your favorite fight?
My favorite fight? I mean, first of all, anytime you win a championship should be your favorite fight. I mean, I won. And I won a championship belt. And, I mean, that whole night was great. Isaac fought, won. Terrion Ware fought, won. I was the last fight to go, and I won. I mean, that night was just the best. We went to McDonald's after that. It was the best.
You know, that
it was the best. And I tell you what, if I knew who Brad Treefield was, I probably would have been psyched out about it. But I didn't know who he was. So instead of letting me, you know, instead of being, you know, believing the hype, not taking anything away from him, because I think he's a very good fighter, but, you know, I mean, the dude is strong. He's a very strong guy. But because I didn't know him, and it was kind of like, I don't know if it seemed like last minute or what. I think I was supposed to fight one guy, and somebody else had to come in. I think Brad was a late replacement.
Yeah, he was.
But, you know, I wanted that belt so bad. It was just like, I don't know, I just, I said, there's no way I'm going to lose this fight. So I have to say that's my favorite fight.
You know that's actually one of my favorite fights. It's probably one of the best days of my professional life. You know, we went 3-0 that day. We got our first belt. I can't even tell you what song was playing when they announced she was the champion. It was Black and Yellow. And we didn't go to McDonald's after. We went Fridays after. It was a fight before.
Oh, wait
we went
a minute.
To McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. You sure I didn't go to McDonald's after that one too?
No,
I don't
we went
know.
To Fridays. You might have went after we all left, but we went to Fridays after to celebrate. And
that's right. I remember now. I remember.
Now, see, the McDonald's was the one where you wanted to get into that championship fight. Well, we're ready to walk out of the locker room, and I'm like, let's knock this fool out so we can go party. You're like, forget party. I want to make rib.
Yeah, man. I recommend not going back to McDonald's ever again, especially if you want to fight, if you want to take fighting serious. Stay away from McDonald's.
Okay.
I needed that rib sandwich, though.
Now, with that said, you know, junior weight cut, training camp, what's the hardest thing to give up?
You try to blow up my spot like you did with Katie, right? Because, you know, I heard the interview. I know you're telling the whole world out there that I like donuts and everything. So, okay, Ray. I understand how it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got a sugar addiction, man. First of all, obviously I can control it when I have a fight lined up. And when you don't have a fight lined up, it's kind of like, well, you know, why should I sacrifice what I like because I'm not fighting? And that's a very poor, you know, mentality to have, especially if you want to be a fighter. So,
well, I seen
you know,
one time when you had a fight coming up, but you were cornering another fight that was a few weeks before your fight, and we're all back in the locker room, and Tito's, where's Akim? And Andre's like, oh, he's at the table buying cupcakes.
I don't even remember this. And who ratted me out? Was it Todd?
Andre did. And it was Andre, and it was a TFA fight.
Oh, Andre. Oh, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get Andre for that. I'm not going to deny it, or I'm not going to say it happened, or if it did or if it didn't, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Rest assured, you know, when I got a fight lined up, I mean, I take it very seriously. I do what I got to do to be at my best physicality, and, you know, I mean, I think every fighter probably struggles with something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, I mean, it's probably something I need to incorporate in other stories I write, but, you know, even the best people, you know, have their vices, and, you know, you got to find strength not just to throw punches and kicks, but you got to find the strength to do the right thing. And, you know, some people it comes easy, some people it comes hard. So that's all I have to say about that.
I mean, you know, it's definitely a pleasure watching you perform. And, you know, we were talking about that fight we went to McDonald's after. I remember, you know, what a good job you did, you know, dealing with your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That Joe Camacho came up to me after the fight while you were
mm-hmm.
still in the cage, and he was like, this kid is going places.
Mm-hmm. Now, that means something, especially coming from him. I only got to work with him for, you know, just a little bit. I got to roll with him for a little bit. And, you know, he's always been, you know, nice to me and, you know, willing to share his knowledge. And, you know, and I know that he's, like, you know, famous, and especially in the L.A., Southern California area. And, you know, for him to say something like that, you know, that means a lot. So if I ever saw him at my fight, I always, like, said, what's up? Because, you know, he was a cool guy.
Yeah, definitely, and, you know, he definitely influenced my career a lot, you know, and
mm-hmm.
in the way, you know, I try to lead your guys' careers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, winning the bout was your favorite fight. Now, what fight did you learn the most about yourself?
Learn the most about myself. Man, I'd have to say, my fight with Stryker. Because even though I lost, I was still happy with myself. Because
now, for the people out there, let them know about that fight. Because, I mean, you were coming in injured, defending your belt. I mean, to me, it was one of your best performances.
Oh, wait. You're not talking about...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the other one. What's his name?
The other guy.
Yeah.
I don't even remember his name.
Yeah, he just fought Stryker not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who won?
I don't remember. You were there. It was that Isaac fight.
Oh, really? I didn't see him. Who won?
You know, I think he won, and everybody thought Stryker won.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I came to see Isaac. You know, and pretty soon, so I just bounced, but...
Yeah, but definitely go ahead and tell us about the Stryker fight, because that was actually a pretty deep fight.
Uh-huh. I tell you what, from fighting both of those guys, fighting Stryker was the only loss I had where I wasn't disappointed with myself. And when I fought the other guy, I felt I probably wasn't... I feel like I'm in a better training camp now than I ever was before. I mean, I trained hard, but, you know, I mean, it seemed as if I wasn't getting the attention that I needed. And now I seem like I'm in a much better place. So, but in terms of putting anything on me, it was kind of like I didn't train as hard as I probably should have, or, you know, I can beat myself up all day, but the bottom line is I didn't prepare myself as much as I should have. Now, my fight with Stryker, I prepared for that fight really hard because everyone I asked about him, because people heard about him, and people knew who he was, and everyone I told said, yeah, I'm fighting Stryker, and, you know, the response was like, good luck. And so I was like, okay, so I'm taking that this guy is an extremely strong guy and a very good stand-up fighter. So not only did I have good people to work with, and I trained, you know, my hardest. I put everything I had into that fight. He bested me, but it didn't matter. You know, all that matters is that I was satisfied with myself. And I think I won that first round anyway. So
you did too.
So there you have it. You know, anybody who says, you know, oh, you know, you don't really have a shot with this guy, you know, win or lose, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you put in 100%. What matters is that you try to shut your critics up. You know, I'd rather lose than get scrubbed out. Last thing I want is somebody to scrub me out. You know, that's just me as a fighter, the way I think.
Definitely, and that's where a lot of people don't see in this fight game. They'll take a loss too hard, and it's a sport,
mm-hmm.
like baseball and football
yeah.
and basketball. You're going to lose sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, did you give it your all, and how do you react to that loss and come back from it?
Right. And, you know, that's the game.
You know, you're talking about training camps. Now, excuse me, the camp you're in now.
I'm at Systems right now.
Yes, it's a different camp. I mean, ultimately, it progressed from where we were at before to where it's at now. It's not really where you left one camp for another camp. This is just a natural progression from where we started to where we're at now.
Right.
But only difference is, back then, we were all at the same level. Now we got killers in the camp.
Yeah.
You know, talk a little about that.
Well, I like it. I like the people there. I mean, we still got, you know, I'm still with Terrion and Isaac, still training there. And, you know, a lot of fresh faces. And they got some, Dima still training there. And Dima's kicking behind, so that makes me happy. And I'm getting trained under Ian Harris right now. And I really like him as a trainer. And I really respect him as a coach. He hasn't coached me yet. But I see him, I see the way he corners, I see the way he handles his fighters, and I like it a lot. I mean, from what I've seen, he is something that I'd want in a coach.
You know,
and so I'm, huh?
I mean, speaking about Ian, he is a great coach. When he first came over to us, you know, I was like, you know, who is this guy? I'm used to going against him, and now you're asking us to take him in as one of our own? Whatever. I wasn't feeling it. But then, you know, when I got
then
to,
you
know
get to know him.
And,
exactly.
And get to see what he's doing,
yeah.
Man, this dude is a genius.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of our success we owe to Ian Harris.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I respect him a lot, so I'm really happy to be training there right now. And there's a lot of guys out there, you know, amateurs and pros, and these guys are forcing me to step up my game. And that's all you can really ask for. You know, I want to go to the next level. You got to be better than you were yesterday. You got to be better than you were last year. You know, so I have to be better than I was when I fought Stryker, so I don't even know how I'm going to look when I'm ready for my next fight, because I have to be better than I was last year and the year before. So, and I know I can get there, you know, with this new coach and this new camp, so I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's something that I've been waiting for a while, along with the movie. I mean, I don't know what I'm more excited about, the finished product on the movie, or are you making your pro debut?
I'm excited to get paid for a fight. I mean, that should be the number one reason why you should be excited to go pro, right? I mean, actually not, because you don't get paid much. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, hey, I need to make some money, so.
Well, I feel you on that, because I only get a percentage of what you guys get, so I get even less than what you guys get.
So when I make my pro debut, you're going to be getting a dollar. That's what you're going to be getting, right?
Either that or McRib.
That's it. That'll be 25% of my... But like I said, filmmaking is my number one passion, so I'm really looking forward to this movie. This is going to be a big deal for me and a big deal for everybody, because, you know, people from the camp are in the movie, Terry Hunt's in the movie, you're in the movie, so
now,
it's hard to separate it all, so I'm just excited for this year.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big year for you coming up. Now, you know, the movie is in its final stages, you know, it's made me do some more shots to film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another project lined up already?
Do I have a Linda project lined up?
Yes.
You're asking me?
Yes.
I do not have a specific project lined up, but my girlfriend/producer partner likes another one of my scripts, and it's a departure from What It Takes. It's kind of like a drama murder mystery type deal, and she really likes it. She likes it a lot, and she used to act, and she does not have a passion for acting anymore, but after reading that script, she said that she'd want to take the lead. So who knows? Maybe she'll make the decision, and we'll go ahead and make that next one. But I can't jump too far in the future right now. I gotta focus on now right now.
Oh, I mean, definitely. You know, speaking of your girlfriend partner, I mean, I'll give her a shout out. Laura's a great woman. I mean, we all love her.
Yeah. I honestly couldn't get this done without her at all. She really jump-started everything. I mean, I've been working on this for a long time, and I didn't have too many people behind me. I mean, of course, you were behind me. You're always there. You know, a lot of people from the gym were always there. But in terms of technically getting this made, she's been more than just moral support. She came in as a legitimate producer. She's never produced anything. She's never produced a film in her life, and she just took on the responsibility. And I couldn't have gotten it done without her, so I'm eternally grateful. And she wants it done, man. She wants this movie done. So I'm going to get it done. I got to do what I got to do, you know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, she was like a woman possessed while we were filming. She was definitely knew what she was doing. I wouldn't have been able to tell. That was her first time. You know, tell us how you guys met.
How we met? We met at AMMS, Academy of Mixed Martial Science. Now it's A4 Fitness, but we met at the gym. If I was going to meet you know, a girlfriend or future wife to be at the martial arts gym, because I have no life. My life is at the gym, so that's where we met. And I was teaching her Muay Thai, and what's funny is that she actually left the gym for about a year, and we've kept in touch over Facebook for a while, but, you know, nothing really came out of it. But I think at one point she wanted to come back, and so she came in to probably talk about, you know, a membership, and, you know, I laid that charm on her, and, you know, said, you know, we should go out and get, you know, a smoothie or something. And ever since then, you know, we've just been together. And so, and it's been great. It's been 2 years. So, you know, I mean, and I'm definitely in a better place. You know, the woman beside you is supposed to make life better, and she definitely makes my life, you know, way better. Without her, I'd just be some bum.
Well, I doubt that, but no, I understand what you're saying about, you know, she makes you better. And it's kind of funny how, you know, everything leads back to AMMS, or even before that when it was
West Side Martial Arts Club.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been in this game for a while already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time to show something for it. And that's what the video is going to be about.
Definitely. And I mean, you know, we're looking forward to this and to the movie. I got people always hitting me up about the movie. When's it coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to be a short film, so, you know, I don't know how available it's going to be to the normal public. But go ahead.
You're asking how people can get a chance to see it?
Yes.
Well, first of all, when I release it, I'm going to have a premiere screening. So I will make an announcement about the premiere screening. And, of course, you know, everyone involved in it needs to come to it. And it's going to be on DVD and Blu-ray. And the thing is, you can purchase it, or you can donate to the film. And by donating, you know, you can receive a copy. So, you know, you can contact us on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm on facebook.com/whatittakesshortfilm. You know, just like it. You can talk to me directly from there. On Twitter, I'm @whatittakesfilm, one word. And, you know, if you want to donate to the film, I'd really appreciate that. You know, we still have some post-production, some sound design, and we still need to go into it. And, of course, you know, another day of shooting. And we got to pay people to come back to shoot. So, you know, anything over $50, you know, you're going to get a copy of the movie when it's done.
Nice. Now, I need advance warning as to when you're going to have this premiere, because us at Takedown have
a large
price for you, so we want to make sure we have it set up.
Okay. All right.
And,
no doubt. I'll give you advance warning for it.
Thank you. And, you know, so we're looking forward to the movie. We're looking forward for your pro debut. Right now is your time. Anybody want to shout out? Any sponsors, any friends, any particular donut place you like to shop? Anybody who want to go ahead and shout out, go ahead.
All right, first, I'm going to give a shout out to my mom, Gailey, and my grandmother, Eldora Lee, for being my number one sponsor, my number one support. My girlfriend, Laura Stockton. I mean, I already talked about her, but I couldn't get this movie made without her. And, you know, the many people, especially in the martial arts community, that came to help me, Viper, Takedown, Down and Scrap, Babes of MMA, A4 Fitness, Systems Aid, now Systems Training Center, Fight Academy in Pasadena. I'd like to thank them. And, man, there's just so many people out there that I want to thank, private people like my friends from Pennsylvania, my friends from New York, my friends in L.A., for, you know, really coming out and showing their friendship, which is, you know, it touches my heart, you know, it really does. So I'm not going to forget you. And, yeah, that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you very much.
Having you on. We're definitely going to have you on again before your fight, before the movie premieres. And
all right. Sounds good.
It was great having you on, and I can't wait.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, MMA Madhouse, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're brother, welcome. We appreciate it. And, hey, make sure, hey, if you get a press release or any, like, any kind of release that you for when you get closer to the date, shoot it to us so we can get it up on the website for you.
Of course. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, have a good night, brother.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Man, I'm definitely down to see that. Man, it's going to be a good little movie. I love his attitude about it, and I'm excited to see what he can do, not only in the ring, but behind the camera. That's going to be really cool. Folks, I think... Go ahead.
No, it was definitely one of my better experiences in the MMA business, which wasn't actually MMA, but... I mean, it's just being part of it, it's something great, and I can't wait till it comes out so everyone can see his passion for it.
Oh, yeah, and you guys make sure you follow What It Takes Film on Twitter to keep up to date with what's going on with that. Ray, I'm not going to lie, it's been a good show. I say let's wrap it up a little early because I actually walk into the studio just now. We have the owner of Budo Fights MMA out of Central Oregon and the owner of ACS Live TV. He's sitting there. They just stopped in to say hi. So if you got anything you want to get out to the fans, make sure they, you know, all your shout-outs too before we wrap up.
Well, definitely. When you got them in the studio, let them know Takedown Fighters are always ready.
Oh, so. He just said Takedown Fighters are always ready. Don't be a punk. Call. He said he'd bring his whole crew up here to kick your butt.
Ready to catch?
Oh, he said, dude, he's going to call you now. He's like, I got 35 Oregon boys to match up. Dude, and what you should do is...
Fucking train
on Gentrell. Yeah, you can. Yeah, we're about to have a party, I think. Dude, for real, though, we should have you bring... dude, next time he does the Pro-Am cards, that's when we should bring you up. That way you can bring up some of your pros and some of your amateurs.
Definitely.
Give a shout-out. Yeah. Make sure you give your shout-outs and tell everybody how they can find you.
Yeah, definitely. I want to thank, you know, our guests today, Benji Gomez, Steve Romero, Kim Lee. I want to give a big shout-out to Christos winning his fight last night. And to my boys, John and Dima, keep your head up. And give a shout-out to my daughter, Raylene, who yesterday did the walk for life. She actually injured her knee halfway through it. She came home about 3 o'clock in the morning. But, I mean, you know, A for effort for trying, you know, after a long cheer season. You know, she's got some injuries that need to heal up. I want to thank everybody over at Systems Training Center. Anybody need – oh, yeah, definitely. We have the Sparstar fight coming up with Dub C live in concert, Hollywood Park Casino. Anybody needs tickets, hit me up on Facebook at Ray Lopez or Takedown Grappleware or on our Sunday Night Fights Live Facebook, hit me up. I'll get you those discount tickets if you're a fan of the show. If you're not a fan of the show, well, I'll still hook you up anyway. So get at me. Let's get those tickets right away because they're going fast. Our last show was sold out, and this one's going to sell out even faster because Dub C from the Mad Circle or Westside Connection is going to be live in concert. So definitely get at me for that. People out there, don't drink and drive. Skippy, let's go for it.
Hey, Ray, I want to thank you once again for a great show. All our great guests, you guys know, get out there and check out our great sponsors, Persist Headwear. They got some killer, killer hats. Also, Ray said it, Takedown Grappleware and the family of sponsors at MMA Madhouse. You know how we end every show. Eagle!